Well, good morning, everyone. It is good to be together today. My name is John, if I don't know you, and I just want to say welcome to you. We're excited to be together on this beautiful day outside on this Mother's Day, and we're going to have some fun together today, and hopefully we'll connect with God in some pretty meaningful ways. And so I encourage you all to have your hearts open to receive whatever God wants to do in your life. I just want to tell you a couple of things as we get started. We do have connect cards in your pews, and I love when you all fill these out. Even if you've been coming here a long time, it's really good for you to fill out prayer requests, give us updates on what's going on in your life. Just let us know you're here. You can fold those and put those in the box there by the door or in the back. If you do fill one of those out and have prayer requests you want our prayer team to lift up. Also, if you'd like to give this morning and support our church with your finances, then you can do that by putting offerings in the boxes by the doors, or you can give online at our website. There's QR codes there on the Connect cards you can scan to get to the right places. Also, we have a stream of our service available in the cafe. So if you ever need to go into the cafe for anything, to step out of the service for any reason, you can go in there and you can still hear what's going on, see what's going on the TV in there. And then also, we also stream our service on Facebook every single week. And so if you can't come and join us in person, you can watch online. And so we have a crew online, I'm sure right now, who are connecting with us that way. I encourage y'all to read through the announcement handout. If you have any questions about any of that, just reach out and let us know. But I'm going to turn it over to Christina and our worship team, and they're going to get us started with worship. So why don't we all stand as you are able, and let's begin our time of worship together.
Will you look at the screen with me and join us in a call to worship this morning? Oh Lord, let my soul rise up to meet you, as the day rises to meet the sun. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Break into the wild.
sing about freedom this morning, we acknowledge that confession is part of the path there. And so let us share in communal confession this morning. We know that nothing is able to separate us from the love of God and Jesus Christ. Let us, in freedom, confess the wrong we have done. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Now we're going to take a few moments and turn to one another and share gratitude and lament. And if you are new with us, or that's language that doesn't show up for you often in life, gratitude is just an opportunity to share the good things that you are celebrating and praising this morning. And lament is an opportunity to share what's hard. Maybe you've come carrying something really heavy this morning, or protesting something in your life or in the world. And there's space to share both of those side by side, because that's how we experience them at the same time, most of the time. So please share with those in the area around you. If you don't know what to say when someone shares, thank you is always appropriate. And then we'll come back together and continue to sing in just a few moments. So please share.
Thank you.
Maybe take about 30 seconds and wrap up your conversations, and then we will worship together some more.
Thank you.
Amen. Well, I would like to share a couple of quotes with you. I've shared these before, but I think they're beautiful and appropriate for today, given this is Mother's Day. Therese of Lisieux shared these words. She said, "The loveliest masterpiece of the heart of God is the love of a mother. The loveliest masterpiece of the heart of God is the love of a mother." In Isaiah 66, verses 12 and 13, we read, "For this is what the Lord says, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you." You know, I think that the love that a mother has for her child is perhaps the greatest expression of God's love that we are able to see in this world. Throughout the Bible, we read time and time again about how God loves us like a mother loves her child. So today, I want to say Happy Mother's Day. We are so grateful for all the mothers in our community. And I want to say thank you for helping us better understand God's love for us all. I know many mothers here in this room have taught me so much about what it means for God to love me unconditionally by seeing the way you all love your children with your whole heart, with everything in you. I also just want to recognize and I want to honor all the women among us this morning, because many of you may not have children of your own, but you've loved numerous kids and cared for them like they're your own. So thank you for being a mother to many. And I also want to thank you for the many women here in this space that have supported moms in countless ways. Those of you who've shown up to help other moms care for their children, encourage them, cried with them, lamented with them, stayed up and been willing to stay up all hours of the night to help support them so they can get some sleep sometimes. You know, you all still understand that ancient truth that it truly does take a village to raise a child. And I think I've been lamenting this, and my wife as well, even recently, that lamenting the loss of the village in many ways, that we don't have those support networks quite like we used to. But many of you all are doing that, and you're providing that support. You're being that village, practicing solidarity with our moms. And I also want to acknowledge, like we do every year, that Mother's Day is a difficult day. It's a complicated day for so many of us. Most of us celebrate Mother's Day with gratitude and joy, but also with a lot of grief and a lot of pain. And there are so many reasons why Mother's Day is painful for people. And so I just want you all to know that it's okay to struggle today. It's okay if maybe you don't like people telling you Happy Mother's Day because it doesn't feel very happy to you, because maybe you're grieving the loss of a child or a mother, or maybe it's just complicated and difficult for you for a variety of reasons. I want you to know that God is with you and that God is our perfect parent who loves you unconditionally and is with you through it all. Our scriptures teach us that God is Father, and we use that image a lot and that language a lot. The Bible is probably overly masculine in some ways because it was written in times where, you know, that was the kind of law of the land in many ways. But it's beautiful because we see things all throughout Scripture that describe God in feminine ways and describe God as a mothering presence in our lives, just like that passage in Isaiah. And so I want you to know that God is our Father and God is our mother, and that she, our God, is with you today as you walk through the rest of this day. This morning is special because Rachel, who I work with here at the church, is going to share a short reflection on some of her thoughts about motherhood and kind of how she connects with God through being a mother, and some kind of thoughts she wanted to share with you all. Christina and I get to work with Rachel almost every day of the week, and one thing that we love about Rachel and have grown to see more and more and more is that she is just an incredible mother, and she loves her children so much, and she has given so much to her kids, and she's taught us a lot about how to be parents as well. And so we wanted to ask her to share. And so We'll try to support you so you don't break down and cry. She's a little nervous about that. But tears are okay in this church. So I'm really excited for you all to hear what Rachel has to share with you all.
Hi. To be a mother is to love. To be a mother is to hold tight and to let go. To be a mother is to teach. As mothers, we carry more than anyone will ever see. We are stronger than anyone will ever know, even though we don't feel strong most of the time. We often feel like there's not enough of us to go around, and sometimes we feel like we are not enough. Being a mother reminds us of our own imperfections. As hard as we try, we make mistakes. I think this helps us remember to have grace for our own parents and hope that our kids will have grace for us. I asked myself this week what I would want young mothers to know, things I wish I had known and had the confidence to know, and these are the things that came to mind. It is okay to be imperfect. It is okay to ask for help. It is okay to trust your own instincts. It's okay to parent differently than your friends, your family, or books that you might read. It's okay to need time for yourself. The most important thing we do is love our kids well. Even though our love is imperfect, it is in that love that our kids get a glimpse of what God's perfect love looks like.
Thank you, Rachel, for sharing those beautiful and wise words for all of us. Before I dismiss our children for their time of learning in the Wonder Room, I want to just share a few announcements that I want to highlight for you this morning. The first one is that today, Felice Salmon is hosting a Mother's Day prayer vigil tonight at 6 o'clock at the Episcopal Burial Ground, which is on East 3rd Street in Elm Tree. It's right there in the corner. There's a prayer labyrinth there, and that's what I think they're going to use as a part of this prayer vigil. But, in our life together as a church, we celebrate and we acknowledge the good and the beautiful stuff, but we also create space for lament and for grief and for kind of the harder emotions that we experience. And we know that this day in particular, Mother's Day, as we've already acknowledged, is beautiful and it's wonderful, but it's also really hard for some folks as well. And so she's going to host a prayer vigil for those who want to come and just create space for that lament and kind of some of those harder emotions for during Mother's Day. And so particularly those who maybe have lost mothers or lost children or just have a lot of pain associated with this particular holiday. So I'm really excited for this opportunity for you all. And so Felice wanted to invite our church to join her. And so that'll be from 6 to 8, and the address is in your announcement sheet. And so if you need anything or have any questions, just feel free to reach out to us. And Felice is here this morning. Can you wave, Felice? And she'd be happy to talk with you about it if you have any questions. And then also, next Sunday before church is when the Embrace Wounded Healers group is going to meet. And I've mentioned this the past couple weeks, so I won't say any more about it, but there's information in your bulletin about that. And Rob, can you wave? Rob's over here. And Rob would love to talk with you about that if you have any questions. Someone came up to me a couple weeks ago and say, hey, told me their profession, and they're like, am I allowed to come? And I was like, of course you are. And so if you have any questions or wonder kind of if this is a good fit for you, then just feel free to talk to me or talk to Rob in particular, and he can talk through that with you. But that'll be next Sunday before church at 9:30 a.m. And we're still raising support for Aldersgate. We have come close to reaching our goal. We only need 4 more sponsorships, which is amazing. So thank you all so much for your generosity. If you'd like to still help a student get to camp, then you can do that. And there's information in your bulletin about that and how to make that happen. So I will not say any more about that. And now is our time to invite our volunteers and our children for their time of learning in the Wonder Room. So let's give our kids and our volunteers a big round of applause as they come up. The Wonder Room is for children who are 4 years old through fifth grade in elementary school. And so if you are a child in that age range or you're a parent with a child in that kind of range, then please feel free to take your kids up to the Wonder Room. If you're new this morning and your kids have never participated, we ask that you walk with them and introduce yourself to the teachers and make sure that you have all the correct paperwork filled out. So what we're going to do now is spend some time in prayer at the altar or in your seats. I'm going to kneel at the altar and pray. If anybody would like to join me up here, then you're welcome to come and kneel with me at the altar. When we're done with our time of prayer, we'll join together and say the Lord's Prayer together, which will be on the screen. The words will be up there when we get to that point. So we usually start this time of prayer just by taking some time just to be quiet. Become more aware of our bodies and our surroundings and how we're feeling in this space. Become more aware of maybe our thoughts that are on our mind and try to become more centered and present here in this space. You may just want to focus on your breathing. Just take deep breaths in and out. You may want to think of a phrase or a scripture or a mantra or a name of God, and you just want to repeat that in your mind over and over. But let's just take a moment just to center ourselves in the stillness and quiet of this space. Our Creator, our Mother, our Father, our Defender, our Friend, our Compass, our Light, our Guide, our Power, we come to you this morning, Lord, with open hands and open hearts, open minds, inviting you to fill us, to move in us and around us and through us. As we sang this morning, you are welcome here among us. You are welcome here. And God, I know we say that maybe with some disclaimers sometimes because it's hard to have the courage to welcome your full, free, an all-encompassing spirit into our lives and into our space. And so, God, we pray that you would help us to have the courage to take the risk of opening ourselves up. To your powerful and free and loving spirit that is truly let loose among us in this world, moving and working in ways that encourage us and embolden us and challenge us and scare us even at times. But God, we would pray that we would have the ability, Lord, to discern and to see and to hear and to experience and to be mindful of what your spirit is up to, what your spirit is doing already and wanting to do in our own lives, in our families, in our social groups, in our communities, in our church. Help us, Lord, to tap into what your spirit is doing, to tap into that wind that is blowing, that freedom wind that is blowing in us and around us. Help us, Lord, to tap into that and follow where your spirit wants to lead us. There are so many distractions around us. There are so many things that just wear us down, and we are exhausted and we are overwhelmed so often. Our stress just continues to cave in on us. And Lord, we pray that we could experience some Holy Spirit freedom today. And that, God, you would open us and set us free for the things that are holding us down. That you would set us free for that joyful obedience that we talked about in our confession this morning. And set us free to truly be the people that we're meant to be, the people you've created us to be, that we could be set free to be truly us, the fullest version of us. People that are full of love and goodness and peace and beauty and creativity and connection and belonging. We pray we would begin to see more and more of the fruit of the Spirit in our community, in our church, and all around us. The love and the joy, the peace and the patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. Lord, we need you so much. We need you. And this world needs you. This world needs a redeemer. This world needs healing. This world needs restoration. And we prayed that Jesus, you would come back soon. Your first followers saw you be taken up into heaven. And God, we long for that day when you come back down. And we pray we would be ready for that. And that while we wait, we'd be about your business. That we would join your spirit in the work of redeeming and healing and restoring this world that is so broken. This world that needs a loving touch from God. And we pray that we could partner with you and be about that business. We pray, God, that you would open our hearts to receive from you what it is we need to receive this morning. That we would be transformed from the inside out, that whatever we experience today, we would not hold on for ourselves, but we would actually let that be poured out on others for the sake of the common good, for the sake of the goodness of our neighbors and those around us. We pray we could truly be those who follow in Jesus' footsteps, that we would truly pour ourselves out for the sake of this world that you love so very much. We pray that your spirit would empower us so that we can do that. Lord, we love you so much. And now we pray this prayer that Jesus taught us, his disciples, to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So we're continuing on in our series that we began a few weeks ago in the book of Acts, and we're slowly kind of inching our way through it, but we've got a lot of time to get through it, and there's so much there, and so we're just going to take our time as we go through this series, reading through the book of Acts. And so we're going to be in chapter 2 today, and we're going to be looking actually at the Pentecost story. It's not technically Pentecost yet. That's next Sunday, but we're going to do kind of a Pentecost part 1 and then Pentecost part 2 next week. We'll have all the red of Pentecost and the flames and all that stuff next week. But this week, we're going to kind of ease into it and ease into this story. It's a really profound story. I'm going to read our text for us before we get into my message. And so, I don't have my Bible in front of me, so I'm just going to read it on the screen alongside of you all. So this is after Jesus ascended up into heaven, okay? And he was right before their eyes. The two men, the angels said, go on to Jerusalem and wait for the Spirit. And so they did that. And then after that, they did some stuff together in this home. They were praying together. And then we come to our text for today. So when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And this is all these followers of Jesus that had been in Jerusalem. They say it was around probably 100 and something people gathered there in this home. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues or languages as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all of these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. There were a lot of different people there. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues or our own language. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. I always love that verse. So last week, like I said, we looked at the story of the ascension, the moment when Jesus was taken up into the clouds and disappeared right before his followers' eyes. As they were tempted to stay where they were, just keeping their gaze on heaven, wondering where on earth their Lord and teacher Jesus had gone, two men, these most likely heavenly kind of messengers, angels, they appeared and they questioned the followers of Jesus about why they were just standing there looking up to heaven. The followers of Jesus then lowered their gaze. They remembered their instructions, and they went to Jerusalem to wait for the promised Spirit. Now, I want you to picture a large group of men and women and children all gathered inside of a home in Jerusalem. I imagine some of them were spilling out into the courtyards and the places surrounding the homes. The homes were very open environments then. Some were likely inside. They were all eagerly waiting for something to happen, but not quite sure, I imagine, what they were waiting for. They were told to wait, and so they were waiting. I imagine that in this scene, there were probably moments when they were in like intense times of prayer, but they were also sharing food, of course, because they had to eat, probably singing songs, discussing their ideas, sharing memories, reminiscing, wondering about the future, caring for their rambunctious children who needed them to look out for them. And so in one of their moments when they were praying, Peter stood up to speak to the group. Perhaps while he was praying, maybe he had some kind of premonition or some kind of inspiration or a light bulb went off in his mind, but he stood up and he wanted to address the group. And he reminded everyone about what had happened to Judas, one of the 12 disciples. He reminded them about Judas's betrayal and then his death. And he then argued that we need to replace Judas so the number of the apostles would be 12. And so they selected a man named Matthias to replace Judas. Now they continued to stay together in that place in Jerusalem until the Jewish festival of Pentecost arrived. During Pentecost, there would have been pilgrims, Jewish people, converts to Judaism, people who were born into that faith, from all the surrounding areas who would have come to Jerusalem on pilgrimage for this special holiday. So during this festival of Pentecost, they were in this home praying together, and without warning, totally out of the blue, they heard a loud sound, and it sounded like a roaring, violent wind. Then they saw fire, and the fire then separated and appeared to rest on each of them. Now, this was likely a very scary and terrifying thing to happen. Loud sounds like that and fire are usually not expected or welcome inside your home, and certainly not resting on top of me. So I imagine they were terrified, probably wondering what on earth is going on. Then the scene appears to quickly change, and suddenly they are outside of the home. Others heard the sound of the violent wind as well, and so they approached wondering what was going on. These were Jews from many nations all surrounding that area, and they were in Jerusalem for Pentecost. And they drew near to the followers of Jesus because they heard the sound and the commotion. As they approached, they were confused because they heard this group of people speaking about the wonders of God in their own native languages. Now keep in mind, they were traveling to Jerusalem, the center of the Jewish faith. They had to navigate Jerusalem just like any foreigner in Jerusalem would, navigate it using the language of the day. Most of them would have been speaking Aramaic, and they would have had to navigate, likely in broken Aramaic, not quite knowing how to get around the city, trying to figure out how to make it in a place that wasn't their home. But all of a sudden, they go to this home and they start to hear their language being spoken aloud. I want you to imagine at our church, imagine a large group of immigrants visit our church on a particular Sunday. Immigrants from all over the world, from remote places and places close by, but all different languages, dozens of languages. And imagine they showed up to our church expecting English to be what we're going to talk in because they're in the United States. But then they come in, and to their surprise, they were preaching, were singing, were praying in their native languages. How inviting and confusing that would probably be for them. How do they know my language? How do they know my people? Have they traveled to where I live? How are they communicating in my language? What is going on here? You know, I've often encountered this story is kind of this over-the-top display of power and might and strength. But in reality, as you read it, the miracle is so simple and intimate and personal. This miracle united people in the most intimate way. Language, speaking, listening, and understanding. Willie James Jennings says these words, "The Spirit creates joining. The followers of Jesus are now connected in a way that joins them to people in the most intimate space of voice and memory and sound and body and land and place. It is language that runs through all these matters. It is the sinew or the bonding of existence of a people. My people, our language. To speak a language is to speak a people. Speaking announces familiarity and connection and relationality." The Spirit gave these followers of Jesus the ability to speak another language in an instant, to connect to another people in a deeply personal way. I want to share a story with you all. During our first year of marriage, when we were 22 years old, Laura and I lived in Cambodia in Southeast Asia for 6 months. And while we were there, we quickly met some guys who were, they were taxi drivers, but they drove motorbikes. And so you would hop on the back of their motorbike and they would take you to where you wanted to go and you would pay them a certain amount of money, whatever it cost. They called them motodopes, was what the term was. And we met these taxi drivers that were working right outside of our home, on the street, outside the apartment that we were living in. And their names were Sam Un and Mr. Bull. And these are these two guys there on their motorbikes. So they worked on the corner outside of our apartment, so we would often use them to get around the city. I did drive some there, but driving was actually quite terrifying in Cambodia, particularly when you're not used to it. And so we liked to take the motorbike taxis as much as we could. And so we'd get rides from them very often. And as we started to ride with them, we wanted to get to know them more, but we were a little limited in the time we got to spend with them. And so my wife had an idea that maybe we could invite them up to the home, and maybe a way to bridge that gap and to make it less awkward would be to ask them if they would like to learn more English. And because knowing English in Cambodia can be very helpful. And we thought, you know, like as taxi drivers, there's a lot of tourists and expats who live there who speak English. They could give rides more easily to folks. And so we had the idea that if teaching English could be a good way to help them, but also a way to get them get to know them a little bit more. And so they seemed excited about it, and they soon joined us on our patio for English class every week. As time went on, though, it became apparent that our main motivation for being together was not really to learn a language. It was to learn about each other. It was to get to know one another, to make those connections and build a friendship. I think they came to learn English from us, not primarily to help them in their business, because I think they really wanted to know us. They wanted to speak our language so that they could get to know us. They wanted to speak John and Laura to better understand us, to connect with us, and to love us. And our desire to learn Khmer, the language that they spoke, was similar. We wanted to know people like Sam Un and Mr. Bull to connect with them. You know, learning, I don't know if you've ever had to learn a language, particularly in adulthood. It is a very humbling thing to try to learn a new language. I felt like a child most of the time, barely able to pronounce words, unable to form coherent sentences. It was a very vulnerable experience to try to learn a new language. And I've always been bad at learning new languages, probably because I don't like feeling insecure and vulnerable. And so speaking them aloud, particularly to people who are fluent, always feels very overwhelming and scary to me. And I don't want to mess up. I don't want to say the wrong thing. And I don't want to look like a fool. But when you're willing to enter into that process, it's a very humbling experience, a very submissive experience in many ways. And it's a beautiful thing because it really can lead to trust and intimacy. And for us to take that vulnerable act of learning one another's languages, trust truly was formed and intimacy was the outcome in our relationship. The day we left Cambodia, both men showed up at our house and they wanted to give us rides to the airport. And they showed up with these beautiful floral necklaces that they had bought for us that were made of fresh flowers. Never seen anything like it. And tears were shed. They drove us to the airport. And we cried as we said goodbye to one another. And this is a photo of us in our apartment. We were young lads back then. But this was the English classes were able to be a thing where we actually started to get to know one another and become friends. And I truly believe, even though I have not been able to talk to them in a very long time, that we are bonded in a special way through those moments that we had together. Through broken English and broken Khmer, we learned to love and trust each other, to practice solidarity with one another, and truly belong to one another. You know, Willie James Jennings, he argues that we should ask two questions as we read through the book of Acts. What is the Spirit of God doing in this chapter? And what is God asking people to do in this chapter? So as we go through Acts, we're going to ask these questions. What is the Spirit of God doing in this chapter? What do you see the Spirit actually doing? And then what is God asking people to do? The people in the story, and then also we can jump to today. What is God asking us as people to do as a result of what the Spirit was up to? So in chapter 2, what is the Spirit of God doing? Well, the Spirit was joining people together, bringing people together, people from different places, different cultures, different economic backgrounds, different experiences. These followers of Jesus prayed for power, expecting the coming of God's Spirit, but I do not think they expected this to be what the Spirit did right off the bat. The Spirit joins, the Spirit connects, and the Spirit unites. What is God asking people to do in this chapter? Well, Peter and the other followers of Jesus had to be open to following the Spirit in this new direction. This new direction of uniting across difference, across status, across the rules of honor and shame that were set up in that part of the world. They had to be open to meeting people where they were at, seeing them for who they were, seeking to learn their language, their cultures, and their stories. And that's a big ask. That was a big ask for them, and that's a big ask for us. And as you see through the book of Acts, it's going to take lots of trial and error, lots more Spirit speaking to the people and moving to help the early followers of Jesus learn this lesson, that the Spirit is uniting and bringing people together. I feel confident that the Spirit of God is asking the same of us today. I believe the Spirit is asking us to love people where they are, for who they are, and love them for all that makes them who they are. I want to read a quote from another one from Willie James Jennings. He wrote this book on Acts that's like reading a commentary, but sounds like poetry. It's so beautiful, and I love the way he says things. And so I just want to quote him because he says it way better than I could. But he says, he's talking about people here who are truly willing to enter into a person's life, to learn their actual language, but also grow to learn all that makes them who they are. And he says that in this process of humbly seeking to learn another language, he says they come to love the people, the food, the faces, the plans, the practices, the songs, the poetry, the happiness, the sadness, the ambiguity, the truth, and they love the place. That is, the circled earth those people call their land, their landscapes, their home. Speak a language, speak a people. God speaks people fluently. And God, with all the urgency that is with the Holy Spirit, wants the disciples of His only begotten Son to speak people fluently too. This is the beginning of a revolution that the Spirit performs. I love how he says, God speaks people fluently. God knows how to speak our language. He knows what makes us tick. He knows what we need to hear. He knows exactly who we are to the depths of our being. And this story in Acts, I believe, tells us that the Spirit of God is here to work through us to help us learn to speak people fluently as well, to know each other, to understand each other, to speak each other's languages and build trust and intimacy and connection. The first act of the Spirit in Acts is a joining. It's a bringing together, an intimate bringing together of people through language. It's such a beautiful thing, a way to kick off this revolution of the Spirit. The Spirit joins, the Spirit connects, and the Spirit unites. You know, I think church creates such a wonderful space for this kind of thing to happen. We are a gathering of people here at Embrace who share some things in common, yes, but we also share a lot of difference. We don't all think alike here. We've all traveled different roads to get to this place where we are right now. We don't all share the same political views. We have all been hurt in different ways. We have different talents. We have different passions. And we have an opportunity here to truly learn each other's language, to know each other deeply. Now, we all, most of us, speak the same language here, but we're talking about something even deeper than just what we're saying aloud. You know, some of you are different, very different from me. But over time, I've better been able to learn to speak your language, to know how you see the world. And you have been able to join you, and you've joined me in solidarity and in relationship. And so I'm wondering kind of what this could mean for us today. And so I just have some reflection questions for y'all to think about. And I'll put them on the screen and just talk through them slowly and take a picture of it if you're the kind of person who wants to continue to reflect on this stuff as you go throughout your week. But I wonder what this can mean for us today. And a question I had is, how might we join the Spirit and the Spirit's work to join and to connect and to unite? How might we join the Spirit's work? You know, I've heard the Spirit described, often we think of the spiritual life as kind of a rowboat, where we're just rowing against the current, trying to get to where we are, working really hard. And I heard someone describe the Spirit, the life of the Spirit, more as like a sailboat, where it's like, you know, if you get it right and you really tap into the wind's power, the Spirit's power, then the Spirit can move you. So how are we going to join the Spirit and what the Spirit is doing to join and to connect and to bring people together in true solidarity and intimacy? How might we learn to understand and speak the language of the quote-unquote other? And I put other in quotes because we always can other somebody and say, you're not like me. You make me uncomfortable. I don't know about you. Your story does not connect to my story. Your lived experience does not look like mine. How might we learn to better understand and speak the language of the people that we have othered in our lives and in this world? The reality is, you might know how to speak the actual language of your neighbor, but you don't really know your neighbor. You don't know their heart. You don't know what makes them tick. You don't know what they value, their story and their journey that got them to the place where they are today. So how might we better learn to understand and speak the language of the other? Third question, how might we truly get to know people and learn to love them for all that they are? Common Good staff and Embrace staff are reading a book together about how to know a person. And that's the basic premise of the book, how to get to know somebody else. And it seems so simple, but there's books being written about it because we're not very good at it. And we don't really know how to do that. So how might we truly get to know people and learn to love them for all that they are? And the last question feels relevant now in this moment in history, particularly in America. In our increasingly polarized and disjointed and divided world, how might we take some steps towards each other in solidarity? And these are all very deep questions that we need to be wrestling with all the time. But these are some thoughts that came to my mind as I was working through this. And so I encourage you all to take this and chew on it throughout the week and really think about how you might live into this story and think about what it means that the Holy Spirit's first act in the book of Acts was this joining, this intimate connection of people through something so deeply personal as language and culture and learning to connect and speak to one another in a way that really touched people in their hearts exactly where they were. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. I'm going to invite our worship team to come on up, and we're going to take communion this morning like we do every week. And communion is such a beautiful ritual and practice that we have each and every week. But it's so powerful and it's so connected to what we're doing right now in this sermon series. And as we're talking about the uniting power of the Holy Spirit. Because every single week we all come together, all of us, different people from different places, different stories, yet we're coming together in unity around the Lord's table. Communion is a unifying thing that we do every week. It's something we do every week because we need that reminder that every single one of us are in need of God's grace. Every single one of us are in need of Jesus in our lives. And so the person that stands next to you or in front of you or behind you as you come down the aisle here this morning to receive communion. They're no better than you, and they're no worse than you. They're someone that God loves deeply, and they're someone that is desperately in need of God's grace, and someone that God is continuing to work with through the Spirit to bring healing and restoration. And God loves every single one of us and wants us all to live in wholeness and peace and goodness and thrive in this world. And so communion is a reminder of that, that this gift is for everyone. This gift is for all of us. Let's bow our heads for a moment. God, thank you so much for being here today. Thank you for being among us. We thank you that the same Spirit that was working on that at that festival of Pentecost so long ago, that same Spirit that gave the followers of Jesus this ability to learn a language in an instant so that they could connect to someone on an intimate, deeply personal way. We thank you that that same Spirit is here with us now. That your Spirit is eternal. Your Spirit was there at the beginning, brooding, hovering over the waters in Genesis. And your Spirit is here even with us now. Pour out that Spirit, Lord, on this bread, on this juice, whatever folks have set aside at home for this purpose, that it would be for us, truly, the body and blood of Christ. Fill us up in a fresh way. Thank you, Lord, for all you do for us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite those who are helping me serve communion to come on up. We take communion here by your form, two lines down the center aisle. As you come forward, there's hand sanitizer there if you'd like to use that. Have your hands open to receive the bread and the juice. Your server will tear off a piece of bread for you. They will dip it in the cup for you, and then they'll place it in your hand. We have Kleenex if you need that. The altar is open for you, too, if you'd like to kneel and pray and spend some time there. If you'd like someone to pray with you, Rick, whenever Rick's here, he's always in the back, and he's always there to pray with folks in the back. If you'd like to go back there for a more private place to pray, I'm always happy to pray with you over here, too, where I'm at. Come find me, and I'd be happy to lift you up. We do have prepackaged elements in the back if you'd prefer to take those. We have gluten-free options as well. Just let your server know. Give me just a moment to prepare, and then I'll invite you up. Everybody is welcome to share communion, no pressure at all, but if you'd like to join us, then you're welcome to come. So everybody's invited to come whenever you feel led.
Acres flow.
Amen. Y'all may not know this, those of you who are new, but that song was written by people from Embrace. That's an original from our church. And I feel like it really speaks to who our identity is with the church, that drawing on themes of the Trinity and God, the unity that we find in God, three persons, Father, Son, Spirit, in unity, and the calling we have to be unified with one another, and that it's not an easy task to be unified. It does take work. It takes pain. It takes repentance and repairing damage and all those things. But nonetheless, this is what the Spirit, I believe, is doing, if we're willing to follow where the Spirit leads. And next week, we'll talk a bit more about our response to the Pentecost story and what it did in the people that were there that particular day. So as you're able, let's all stand together for the benediction. May the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forever. Amen. Go in God's peace. We'll see you next time.